I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. And I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton-Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we have an MBA story with the awesome Christina Wallace.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton-Game. It will expand your brain.
Guys, girls, whoever is listening to this podcast, you need to know Christina Wallace. She is a serial entrepreneur, storyteller, and all-around woman in tech. Her story is, I think, one that resonates with just about anyone, but she's sharing the amazing insights of how an MBA sort of opened the whole entire world to her. In fact, Mashable has called her one of the 44 female founders to know, and Refinery29 named her one of the most powerful women in New York City tech, all right? So she's definitely a force to be reckoned with, and I hope you enjoy hearing about her career journey, her journey as an MBA, her journey in tech, and what she thinks you need to know to get ahead in your career. All right, Christina, I'm so excited to have you join us on this MBA chat and talk all about your career. My gosh, when I was researching you, you have such an amazing career. So I'm definitely excited to bring this to all the listeners.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So maybe just to start off, you know, give us a little kind of like cocktail party version about your career journey and maybe what some of the highlights have been.
Oh, man. I mean, it really kind of depends on who's at this cocktail party.
right?
It's a tricky
just
one.
Just pretend it's some like really, really hip people at this cocktail party.
Oh, okay. So I say, hi, I'm Christina. I'm an executive in kind of this tech and startup world now. But I started my career in the arts, in theater and opera. And I'm still really passionate about and really involved in the arts world. Ask me anything.
Love it. Awesome. So have there been any kind of highlights in your career journey thus far that have really stood out to you?
Oh, man. I mean, I think every kind of pivot I've made has been meaningful in its own way. I feel like, you know, I started my career at the Metropolitan Opera, which is a pretty ambitious place to start at 22 is your first job out of college. And, you know, and I've created a startup inside the American Museum of Natural History, which is also, you know, an amazing place to get to work. But then I've also, you know, gone and swung in the other direction. And I've been a consultant with the Boston Consulting Group and got to give advice to CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. And, you know, I started my own company. I started in a fashion startup. And so I've kind of been all over the place, which a less generous reading of that would say I'm flighty and can't pick a thing. But, you know, I like to think that each step along the way, I learned something and that informed what I needed to learn next and what, you know, got me curious and excited about next, and then used that as a catalyst for my next step.
Well, and I think that's great because, you know, the reality of kind of the working world now, especially for, you know, maybe younger millennials, is that there's going to be a lot of career changes. This is no longer like you stay with the same, you know, company for 30 years.
Exactly.
And I think that's awesome because it just makes you really well diverse as well. I would imagine going into each new opportunity, you kind of bring all of that experience with you.
Oh, totally. I mean, I'm the weird one in literally every setting I'm in, which is awesome, right? It makes me memorable. It gives me something orthogonal to add to the conversation, right? I don't just look like every other person at the company or in that role. I mean, if you meet me at a cocktail party, you're probably going to remember me, which is a pretty awesome, you know, positioning to have.
Yeah. And I love reading your bio. You call yourself a serial entrepreneur. And I say the same thing about myself. I think I like came out of the womb. You know, and it just, you can't take that out of someone.
Yeah.
So what do you think really kind of excites you or drives you being an entrepreneur?
I mean, two things. One is that I love to make any situation better, right? If I see an opportunity for improvement, I can't help myself but tinker and look for those opportunities to make it more efficient or more, you know, customer friendly or just like more sane. I think so many, you know, interactions I have with businesses and I'm like, oh, who came up with this? This is insane. So, you know, there's that, but there's also the like, I like to make things. And I think this is where entrepreneurship and my arts background overlap so much. Which is like, I like to take nothing and turn it into something. And sort of that 0 to 2 is so much more interesting to me than the like 2 to 100. And so, you know, in that version for me, it means I'm much more likely to be kind of the founding CEO of going from an idea to the seed stage to Series A, and then be that person who hands it off to a more professional CEO than to be kind of the Mark Zuckerberg that stays with it all the way through scaling of an idea.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome. So we're here talking about MBA as well. And, you know, I'd love to get your input. You know, do you think getting an MBA has helped you as a woman in your career? And explain maybe why.
Oh, man. I mean, so there's like a lot of clauses in that question. So getting an MBA for me absolutely changed the direction of my career. You know, I come from a pretty working class family in Michigan, 7th generation Michigander. And, you know, my family has been farmers and assembly line machinists. And then, you know, my mom was a secretary. So the business world was not one that I had ever been exposed to. And And certainly kind of that Midwestern sensibility, the sort of risk averse, you do something that's stable and predictable and you get your health care and you stick with it with your 3% raise every year until you retire.
Exactly. I'm from Indiana, so I understand.
Exactly, right? And so, you know, I set out, which then sounds crazy when you say, but you worked in the arts. I might have been the only person I know whose like family was psyched about them pursuing a career in the arts. And so, you know, I studied piano, I'd studied cello and been a classical musician my whole life. And for me, the stable career was arts management. I wasn't setting out to be a performer, which is a totally unpredictable career path. I was setting out to be the person who had the day job and, you know, looked at the whole year and raised the money and planned the budgets and kind of did all of that. Like that was interesting to me and also seemed like the stable and, you know, slightly more predictable approach. And I, you know, I got into that at the Met. It's sort of the largest nonprofit arts institution in the U.S. at least, and maybe one of the largest in the world. And I got in there and I saw a couple of things. One was that everyone was super in love with obviously the mission of the work, but there wasn't as much experience in the senior management levels around how to do the management side of it. And right. That's the nicest way I can put it. Number two, it wasn't an institution that was growing. And in fact, it was actually kind of shrinking year over year. And when you are super young and you're at the lowest levels of that hierarchy, you want to be at a place that's growing because you don't get opportunities. You don't get promotions. You don't, you know, get to stretch unless someone else above you dies or retires. In a place that's shrinking. And I kind of looked above me and I was like, everyone looks healthy and in their 50s. Like,
nothing's going to happen here.
Yeah. Right. I was like, it could be 10 years before I get promoted. And like, in truth, when I look at some of the people who I worked with and really, you know, loved and respected and, you know, 10, 11 years later, and many of them are still in the same roles, making about the same money and kind of doing the same thing we did 10 years ago. And I was like, yeah, it's a good thing I left. So that was a thing. But the other thing for me, well, you know, one of the maybe the big red flags when I first took the job at the Met that, you know, I didn't realize in the moment was that they really liked tradition. They really liked to do things the way that things always had been done. And in fact, one of the things they had said to me before they gave me the job was, you know, your references, you know, speak very highly of you, but they all say you like to come in and change things. We don't want that. We would like you to promise not to even ask to change anything in your first year here. And, you know, in my head, well, number one, I needed the job. I had moved to New York with about $600, and this was the only interview I got off of 50 resumes that I'd sent out.
Right, so you're going to make this work.
Oh, yeah, I was taking this job. I didn't care if they tell me I had to, you know, wear purple every day for the next year. But, you know, in my head, what I heard was, after your first year, we will totally be open to your ideas, right? And so I sat quietly, and I took my notes, and I made my list, and I got to my year, and then I said, okay, I've got some ideas, guys. And they were like, yeah, no, that's still not your job to have ideas, to change things. And, you know, that was pretty bold in some of my ideas, particularly around the use of technology and automation. And I felt like so much of what we were doing manually could have been turned into, you know, a process that we could use technology for. And in particular, you know, I double majored in math and theater. So I was like, I know how to write this code. I know how to structure these algorithms to kind of do my job. We could outsource my job to the computer and then you could just put me somewhere else in the organization. And they're like, yeah, no. And I was like, okay, I should probably go somewhere else. Because if I stay here, like I said, like it could be 10 years and I could still be sitting here.
Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. "Talkin' Money" under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters, and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like $1 million wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/ETM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ETM.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
So I looked into arts management degrees, and I was kind of looking, at the curriculum and all those things. And I think somehow I stumbled across the MBA curriculum, and it was literally the first time I had ever considered business school. I didn't know an MBA. I didn't know anyone who had an MBA, right? Like this was not in my world. And I was like, wait, all of these classes sound super interesting. And I could totally do this. I'm a numbers girl, and I'm smart. I'll figure it out. And so I applied to business school, literally having never met anyone who had done this, and decided to go. And that just blew open my understanding of what my option set was. You know, I met people who had jobs I didn't know existed in industries I didn't know existed. And we had people come to campus and, we studied probably 500 cases over the 2 years of my MBA. And it just absolutely like stretched my imagination beyond what I even thought could be possible. And while I was there, really stumbled onto entrepreneurship, and in particular in kind of tech startups. And this coincided with, a financial crisis in which there were no jobs. And so, entrepreneurship became a thing that Harvard really liked to talk about, because that was one way of ensuring that we all had, and jobs that they could report in their employment statistics. It set the course for me. So my first job after business school was at BCG, which is where I did my summer internship. And that was such an important year for me as almost like a finishing school on my MBA, where I got to put into practice all these things that I'd only really understood in an academic sense. So I'm really grateful for that year, but it also taught me that I am in no way set up to be a consultant. Like, this was not a career path for me. So it was a great year that allowed me to learn and stretch and save money, but made very clear to me that, it's now or never. Let's just go and start that first company. And so my MBA, it really just fundamentally changed the course of my life. In addition to also, teaching me all these things, giving me a network, that is just truly unparalleled into I'm one step away from almost anyone I could possibly want to meet. And really just kind of giving me that credential, that says you should, maybe take a meeting with me, which I would hate to believe is required, but certainly doesn't hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. So how did you get involved with the Forte Foundation? Was that a part of your MBA experience?
It wasn't. I actually discovered Forte after I'd started business school, and I was so bummed I didn't even know this existed. But I had heard of the Forte Foundation and the fellows. And then, after I graduated, I just met a lot of people who had been in that foundation, and they started really kind of looking for ways to get the word out that the Forte Foundation exists and these scholarships exist and kind of these resources for people considering an MBA, obviously going through the process. And then after, when women are kind of in the field, just an amazing network and amazing resources. And they were trying to get the word out. And so I eagerly raised my hand to help them kind of spread the word, which is, it's just an amazing organization that really kind of works to get more women aware of the MBA and the kind of potential that it offers, as well as helping them, pursue business school and succeed there, and then really promoting them and helping them kind of build those relationships in that network afterward, which is, kind of an amazing ecosystem. Yeah.
And there aren't many places where, there aren't many opportunities, I should say, where you can go get a master's degree and have that kind of attention, especially being a female. It's oftentimes I find you get a grad degree and then you're kind of left out there by yourself again, And so I think it's awesome. I mean, I wish they had been around when I was getting my MBA, to provide that sort of lift to help you take the skills that you learned and really then, connect you in that world that's going to help you get the jobs and the opportunities.
Oh, absolutely. And it's such a great network, especially because it's cross schools, right? It's not just the women alumni network from Harvard or from Stanford or, your particular school. It's this amazing network that spans across all of the business schools that they have relationships with, which is just an amazing, I keep saying amazing, but I don't really have a better word for it. It's just a really phenomenal you know, network and grounding so that when you graduate, you're not just, you know, kind of on your own.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have been named, and I'm quoting here, one of the most powerful women in New York City tech, 44 female founders to know, and on and on and on. So, I mean, what kind of advice would you offer to women out there, you know, that are really trying to make their way in their career? Do you have any tips that, you know, have really helped you kind of forge the way forward?
Oh, man. Sure. I think
I know that's a big question.
It's a big question. I think one of the big things that resonated with me when I first started at business school, and everyone kept saying networking, networking, networking. I was like, what is this networking thing? And everyone made it sound like a job. And, you know, they had to like put on their networking outfit and get their networking business cards. And I was like, I don't understand this notion of networking. I just build relationships. And I actually pulled one of the second year students aside and I was like, am I doing this wrong? And she's like, no, that's actually the goal. Like that's what you're trying to do here. Because exchanging business cards at, you know, some networking event that you're going to follow up in some sort of transactional, you know, exchange, like that's not going to get you anywhere. That might, you know, get you one intro that's sort of half-hearted, or it might get your resume into the right person, but without kind of the endorsement behind it. But that's not where you get your leverage. Truly, it's about building relationships, and in doing so, kind of paying into that relationship before you need it to pay out. And so from there, I was like, okay, how can I build authentic relationships with people? And, you know, one of my ways, like I'm a huge just sort of social butterfly, which I'm also like an introvert. So I can do this really well. And then I need to be alone for a while to recuperate.
I comprende. I'm the same way.
Exactly. So, you know, I like knowing what everyone's working on. I like, you know, understanding how I can help them or what they're looking for, what they need. And then like playing matchmaker. And I kind of always have been that person who kind of knows what's going on and can, you know, set people up or help them find that thing or even be that person that they're looking for. And so I just did that naturally in business school. I've done that naturally in the startup world since, and it has paid back in spades. Every opportunity that has come to me, whether, you know, launching my podcast with Forbes a year and a half ago, or, you know, getting my speaking opportunities that now pay, which is amazing, or getting to write for books or for, you know, websites, all of that has been inbound with people coming and bringing me opportunities off of relationships that I had been investing in for years in some cases. So, you know, getting away from that transactional nature of like, I need to meet all the people and figure out what they can do for me and get their business cards. Like, that's not the goal. The goal is to just be an awesome person who's known as being helpful and authentic and building those relationships. And like it comes back to you. The karma comes back to you.
Yeah, I think that is probably some of the best advice anybody can offer. I mean, you said it so eloquently, and it really has been true in my career that, you know, that's the way opportunities work these days. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, both ways. It's just being a good person and genuinely trying to connect with people and connect them with other people. And, you know, I think taking your ego out of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think like the being the good person piece is not to be overlooked. I think the business world, the startup world, certainly the women in leadership roles of business world, these are small worlds. And, you know, someone you work with today is going to change jobs and you're going to change jobs. And like 4 years from now, you're going to be sitting across from them at a deal table, or you're going to be sitting next to them as a coworker. And the last thing you want to do is make a stupid short-term decision now that optimizes for you, but screws them over, that is going to come back to bite you or become part of your reputation later. I think like protecting your reputation and just being a genuinely good person is the number one thing you have to keep in mind, because I know that's hard to believe when you see other stories in the news of other people getting ahead by not being good people. But I promise in the end, you're going to sleep better at night, and you're never going to be in that awkward situation where you're like, oh crap, I need something from you. And I totally was not the best person to you 5 years ago. And we both know that.
Right. That awkward moment. Yes. Avoid those. Yes. Awesome. Well, Christina, thank you so much for taking some time to share your story.
No problem.
I feel like we could talk forever. And you have just such an amazing background. And I think it's so important, not just for women to share their stories like this, but really for everyone to hear, you know, the stories and the journeys, because I think we all realize how much all alike we are rather than different. And the world always wants to make us feel so different.
Absolutely.
And so I just think it was just awesome to hear your story, and I appreciate it so much. And I know the listeners will as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun.
All right, so now we're all going to approach networking just a little bit differently, right? No, seriously, it actually is, I think, one of the things that has made my career what it has, and really is continuing to open doors, I should say, that I just couldn't open on my own. It's connecting with people, it's being nice to people, and, you know, it's really, I think, protecting those relationships so they're there when you need them. And it's not always a tit for tat. A lot of times I help more people than they help me. And that's totally cool, right? Because what goes around comes around. So I hope you've enjoyed this podcast about Christina. I'm sure you agree. She is just a amazing woman who we all can look up to. This podcast was sponsored by Forte. Forte is an action-oriented nonprofit led and funded by a consortium of top schools and multinational corporations that are passionate about advancing women in business. And I think we can all say three cheers to that. I wish Forte was around when I was getting my MBA, because they provide programming to women at all career stages, and they're really helping to move the needle forward by growing the number of women that are business leaders, all right? As always, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Shauna Game, and head on over to the show notes. We've got links to Christina Wallace, to the Forte Foundation, and do us a favor, if you like this podcast, share it with your friends, head on over to iTunes and leave us a review.